Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Detroit Lions Breakdown Podcast. I'm Joe Kania. With me, as always, is Eric Schlitt from PrideOfDetroit.com. Eric, you sent out your latest DLB draft board to all the Patreon subscribers the other day,
Oh
and of
yeah.
course, it doesn't affect a lot of people listening, but it's worth noting you have a tab in it that has the 2024 salary cap listed, and you
Yeah.
put in all this pay. Everybody looks and puts all this. You put all this painstaking effort into the whole board. It's a labor of love. I understand that you take on, but this cap chart here, just throw it right out. It's totally useless now. It's meaningless because Lions made a couple of huge moves today. Seismic moves. Anybody who's listening, he already knows what they are. The extensions for Amon-Ra St. Brown and Penei Sewell. We heard about St. Brown first and Sewell after. What's the fallout from these signings? I mean, in the end, it's really nothing because they were going to be on the team next year anyways, but it gives
Right.
certainty going into the future.
So we have some rough numbers. We don't have a whole lot of details on that are, I guess firmed up. But both of them are multi-year, and they're extensions onto their existing contract. So with St. Brown, he was, like you said, signed for 1 year, and then he gets a 4 years added onto that. So basically, he is signed through 2028. So you have him for the next 5 seasons, which is very nice. With Sewell, they got even trickier. Not only was he under contract for this season, but they picked up his 5th-year option for next season, then signed him to a 4-year contract after that. So he's signed through 2029. Now, the numbers are all kind of, all over, a little bit all over the place. In essence, the St. Brown was making, he was making, let me get the right number so I don't speak out of turn here, but it's St. Brown was making around $3.5 million, or was expected to have a $3.5 million cap hit. What they did was they added 4 years and they added another $120 million on top of that. The cap number this year stays pretty low. It's only expected to be around 4.8 million. So you only go up, not even $1.5 million. And so that's easily palatable. And then next season, it bumps up as you would expect. 13.9 is the estimation. And then it really kicks up after that. It's going to be at 30, 33, 28, 41 after that.
Oh
But
boy.
the thing
Lee be a
is,
lion in that last year.
most of his guarantees go through 2027. But the trick here is not only is all a lot of the guarantees pushed up front, so you're making him happy, you do have that out in 2028 if you need to. But the salary cap's going up 10, 15, $20 million a year. You know what I mean? So when you start looking at like percentage of cap now versus percentage of cap when, 3 years from now, it's going to be a different amount. Like it's not going to $41 million or, $33 million this year, is significant. You're talking low end quarterback money for that, but $33 million 2 years from now isn't going to feel as heavy handed, I guess. Right. And
All right.
that's the idea with, I think, both these contracts. With Sewell, it's the same type of thing. He was expected to make just under 7.8 million this year. His number only jumps up to like 8 point, just under 8.2. So again, you're not even going up $500,000 with Sewell, and you're keeping him under. Now, next season, that 5th-year option was expected to be over 21 million. Now his cap hit's going to be 9.5. So you're saving $12 million next year with this contract extension from what the 5th-year option would have been. He ends up making 28 million after that, 32, 34, and 27 over the 5 years after that. But, or I'm sorry, the 4 years after that. But again, contracts are, or the salary caps are going to go up, and you're talking about having upwards of like $30 million more to spend when the big money actually starts kicking in. And so these are contracts that are they're going to not look as bad in 2 years as they do right now. The thing I like most about these contracts is that there are a bunch of receivers waiting for paydays, and there are a bunch of offensive tackles waiting for paydays. And the Lions just set the market with both these guys. So all these big names that are looking for extensions after them, they're all going to try, their agents are going to try and top what the Lions gave St. Brown and Sewell. And so by the end of the year, these guys might not be the top paid offensive tackle and top paid wide receiver anymore. They might be like third, fourth, fifth in line, because they have there's these other players just sitting there waiting to come up with to get their contract extension. So I like getting ahead of the market. I like being able to set the market, and I like the what they've done over the next 2 years with each of these contracts, both very reasonable and workable over the next two. And you don't really start hitting heavy money until for 3 years, when you're expecting that salary cap to be significantly higher. And so these are fantastic moves, right? I mean, it's just fantastic. These are two pillars. We've talked previously about there's three pillars on this team that you're building around. Well, this is two of them. These were must extensions to get done, and they got them done. Terrific timing, by the way, to do that on
Yep,
draft
night
eve,
before the draft.
right?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. But this is absolutely sensational. This is how you sustain success, right? You pay the guys that you have homegrown, the ones that are going to the all that are all pros, the ones that are going to multiple pro bowls each. You pay those guys, and when they're the foundational players that they are, easy decision. So many people beyond Detroit, I don't think, really understand the value in these two players, even though were both all pros. People still think Amon-Ra's a slot receiver, and that's naive, right? Like, first of all, it's wrong from a technical standpoint. He spends half his time in the slot, half his time on the outside, but still, he is the number one target. He is how, what this where this offensive runs, right? It goes through St. Brown, and then Penei Sewell is the best offensive lineman in the league according to PFF. He deserved to be the highest paid guy, and he got it. So some people asked me earlier today, why are you doing the Sewell contract now when you could have done it a year from now because you had that extra fifth year option? Well, the reasoning is that you just cut that fifth year option by over half. And so getting that deal done now, you keep that stability, you have that long-term stability, and you've reduced the financial cap hit you're going to have over the next 2 years. And you'll pay for it down the road, but you're going to have the space and in the availability. And again, these are absolute easy decisions for the franchise to make. And so I am on board 100%, totally justify all these moves.
No way, you're on board 100%.
Oh,
That's not like you.
well, these are the two guys. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so Hutch is going to get paid too when it comes down to it. But the thing is these two are what this team is built on. Like,
Right,
they are.
they're the cornerstones of the offense, yeah, and two of the cornerstones of the franchise. Sewell move is when you really look at it, is good because he is the best offensive tackle in the NFL, and you could argue with me that maybe he's top three, top five. That's fine. Within the next year or so, he'll be the top offensive lineman in the NFL if he's not already. And his contract edges out Laremy Tunsil's, and a lot of these guys will be asking for pay raises above Sewell, and the teams will be able to go back to their agents and say, it's like, yeah, but you're not better than Sewell. So in the end, it's going to work out for the Lions. That one is, because he'll quickly not be the highest paid tackle in the NFL, and he's still going to be the best. The Amon-Ra one, I can't say anything bad about Amon-Ra St. Brown, because I'm not a fan of paying receivers, as from a few years back when we had
Sure.
our Kenny Golladay versus Romeo Okwara debate of which one to keep in free agency if you could just keep one. But look what the Chiefs did. They shipped away Tyreek Hill. Now Amon-Ra St. Brown's contract is going to edge out Tyreek Hill's. And the one thing you could say about Amon-Ra St. Brown, and where you could be more comfortable with paying him as much as the team's paying him is he's got a maniacal work ethic and he's got a giant chip on his shoulder, right? Like he's very upset that all these receivers were drafted before him and that's always going to stick with him. He's a really hard working guy. Doesn't get in any type of trouble. Like it's hard to argue against keeping him and doing what it takes to keep him. You know, it kind of goes against, what I think NFL teams should do, sure. with the receiver room as they grow and, let's get rid of him and move on. Leaves and yeah, they'll probably pay Hutchinson what that would be next year after next season, right?
Or the year after, because they will have that fifth year option for him.
Yeah, too, but they're probably gonna do what they did with Sewell
very possible.
I
completely agree with you with paying receivers. The thing with Amon-Ra is that he's more, right? He's more than just a receiver. I think, we're going to have this question when J-Mo's turn comes up and we're going to talk about, is J-Mo worth
it? They can let him go.
I'll say that now.
I could change my mind in a year or two, but I'm going to say right now they'll let him go.
Because as electric as he is, no one brings what Amon-Ra does to the table. Like him and Sewell, just what they bring is unparalleled. And you're paying beyond the position for both these guys, in my opinion. And look, with St. Brown, you got to get ahead of the Justin Jefferson deal, right? Like you absolutely just have
and
to.
Jamar Chase,
yeah,
because they're both that's what'll also make his deal more palatable because those two guys are going to end up getting paid a lot more money than him, and I'm probably not even thinking about a couple others. This years ago, the Taylor Decker deal, right? Mm-hmm. It was this big deal, and all the casual fans that like I'm friends with, they start talking like, man, they're giving a lot of money. It's like, yeah, but they paid him what, the fifth or sixth most among tackles at that time. And he's probably like the 10th, 11th, 12th best tackle. Give it a couple of years, he'll be right there in pay range. It was a fine deal by the Lions. Look how well it's turning out. In the end, like he's even outplaying it in this past season. It's the same thing's going to happen with these two, as long as they remain healthy. Like, The deals aren't going to look so bad. I mean, they don't look bad already, but they're going to even look better a couple of years from now. Although I'm not crazy about Amon-Ra, $41 million in the last year.
I think that's a bit of a dummy deal, though, or a dummy year, right? That's a setup to get another contract extension talk going on, and that's more for show than anything because there's no guarantees in that, right? Like, so they're just putting a lot of money in there. They can rework the deal. They'll see where they are at financially. They'll see where he's at, and they'll get another contract extension done in that year, and they'll knock that number down. But I mean, that's my opinion on it. The Sewell one, I love the Sewell one. I mean, go buy your Sewell jersey, right? Buy whatever color you want, black, blue, white. I don't care. Just the Sewell jersey is a healthy investment at this time because
odds are he'll be a Lion for life, and that's going to go beyond this next. Oh, I mean, hopefully he remains healthy, and they'll never get rid of him.
The stunning thing is he's going to make this. I mean, what's the contract total? Right, it was a what?
It's slightly less than St. Brown's getting. There's this 120.
It's just roughly right.
122,
like in there too. Right?
No, he was 112.
Oh, was it? I thought it was. Okay. Hang on. Regardless. All right.
Oh, people are turning off their podcasts right now. Like, these guys don't know who they're talking about.
No, it is 112. You're correct. SportTrack doesn't put it in the same spot as over the cap. So I got lost there. 112. He's going to have that money in his pocket. And he's going to be 28 years old when this contract is up. What I mean? Like, he's going to not just get a third contract. He's going to get a fourth contract. Like, he's going to make more money than anybody when it's all said and done. Like, he's going to be the highest paid football player. Like, I feel like
he's going to get outpaid. He's going to beat out Matthew Stafford for highest paid football player ever.
I think he's going to be up there because he's going to just, I can't ever see him being declining. I see Trent Williams when I see him, right? Like I see a guy who's going to play till he's 39, 40 years old and not have a fall off because he has that athleticism, the mentality. Like there's just so much about his game and his mentality and his personality and his drive that just says this guy could play 17 more years in the league, and my goodness, the money he could make, or will is going to make, right? And honestly, look, he 10, 12, how many more all pros can he get during that time, right? Like, it's going to be a startling career, in my opinion, when it's all said and done, because that's the ceiling he has, like record setting money, record setting accolades. That's where he's at, man. He is a stud, and worth every penny.
Eric, I've been thinking about this. Like, he is not going to make more money than any other football, because the quarterbacks are going to be paid so much more. If Justin Herbert plays till he's 36, yeah, he's going to make more money than Penei Sewell. And name your quarterback who's your. I'm. I don't want to burst your bubble here, but somebody's got to say, because you know, once again, people are listening. Like, nah,
right.
But anyhow, hopefully Hopefully he plays forever, and he plays at a high level forever. Anything can happen, but things look good so far.
I'm just thinking about what the quarterbacks are making now, and I'm like, he's going to make more than that 15 years from now. You know what I mean? But yeah, I did ignore the fact that quarterback contracts will also go up as well.
Right. Yeah. They'll always be making more. Elephant in the room. Jared Goff has no deal. Then, and they didn't announce one today. They could have, if they had one in place. Now, this is more delicate probably than the other two are.
Sure.
Is there a potential that I'm not making a rumor. Is a potential that, like, a half hour before the draft starts, they say they've signed him to a contract extension to, you know, just to take more shine off of the draft and put it on themselves. That's part of what they did today, right? Like, because it's a big news story, you know, big NFL news story going into the, you know, the draft's supposed to be the talk. And here it's like, oh, these two Lions signed massive contracts and Trey Hendrickson asked for a trade. You know, these are stories that they're going to be talking about all day tomorrow, you know, infringing on the draft a little bit.
I do think that the release of these two contracts was purposeful in its release today, because they had a St. Brown video. St. Brown had a video all queued up where he was at Ford Field. Like, he knew it was coming. I think it was purposeful today because it gives them more reason to talk about Detroit. Like, they're already going to want to be talking about Detroit because it's in Detroit, and this is just more fuel to the fire. And so, yeah, I think it's great. And I do think the Goff contract's coming. I don't think it's coming tomorrow. I think it's coming at some point, but I don't know the imminent, you know, how if it's imminent at this point. But it should come. This is a good publicity move. I drafted these two guys in my first draft. Now I've extended them. I'm Brad Holmes, and I walk around with the big, you know, with big swagger all over the place. I was going to
say, Eric, this is a family show.
Oh, okay. All right. But I mean, like, he's got that, like, he's just, I'm sure, walking around, like, and after his,
I'm Keith Hernandez. This is how Brad Holmes is walking around that old Seinfeld episode.
And if he, you know, and after, like, his press conference that he had last week, where he was talking about, like, outliers and people who have opinions on, like, which, you know, that an opinion on a player that's different than the rest of the group, and Holmes casually mentions that he was an outlier on one guy and picked him anyways, and then that guy had a successful season. Man. Oh, that was Sam LaPorta. I 100% believe that was Sam LaPorta.
Right.
And so if that's the outlier, and that's the guy you pick who goes to an all, who's an all pro, so rookie or pro bowl or whatever. I mean, I'm getting them all mixed up now. I'm too excited about the Sewell move. And so like he's the confidence and the swagger that he has right now are, they have to be at an all time high, and going into the draft, it's a perfect time to have a lot of confidence.
All right. And that gives us a nice transition going into our next topic, which is the NFL draft. Happens to be tomorrow. We are recording on a Wednesday night. It'll be at, did you know, Eric, it's in Detroit this year?
Yeah.
You never would have known.
I went down twice. I went down once with the family to check it out. And then I, I was down there for the uniform reveal, and we went and checked it out again, the draft site, and it looks pretty nice. Like the latest photos I've seen, they all look pretty clean, and hopefully will be a nice show.
Now, is the stage in Campus Martius or Cadillac Square?
It's in Campus Martius. It's like right next to the Campus Martius parking garage. So like that's where they park us on at when we are on game day. They have two lots that they typically send media to. I happen to go to that one, and it's like just south of the garage, and it's just kind of tucked in this little it's so it's like right up the street from the Spirit of Detroit. So if you're at the Spirit of Detroit and you start walking north towards Woodward, you're gonna walk. It's just,
Well,
you're
you're
going
on Woodward.
right up into it. Right. Well, that's what I mean. You're on Woodward. If you're walking up Woodward from the Spirit of Detroit right up into the Campus Martius area, it's kind of tucked in right next to the parking garage. It's nice. It's a big stage, and they've got like you can tell like they have a whole bunch of background stuff like where they're gonna be. Like green rooms types of things behind the stage, and then there's gonna be a whole walking area like out in front. They put up some like bleachers at one point, at kind of farther back, so you can get a more aerial view and look, and the gears down there, and like I said, the Spirit of Detroit's all decked out. It's pretty cool.
All right, let's talk about the draft.
Okay.
We've had a couple of installments leading up to here. We did our mock draft last go around when we were together. Today we're just going to go position by position. We're going to just, point out a couple of prospects here and there that we'd like. Right, and that's where we'll go. We'll start at the quarterback position as always. This one will be a pretty quick one because I don't think either of us feel that they're going to take anybody.
Oh
Do
yeah,
you?
certainly.
You know, do you, if the Lions were going to pick somebody, do you have a favorite? Probably not. I don't see it,
No. Not really. I think a guy like Jordan Travis is interesting to me if he falls because of his leg. Like if somehow he's, real late in the draft, or maybe undrafted because of the injury. He intrigues me quite a bit, but I'm more interested in I'll pick a favorite
Every what
when.
every other team's doing.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, I'll pick a. I mean, like when they're all done and we're at the undrafted part, that's when I'll be
Oh,
like, all right,
yeah.
which is the undrafted guy that I like best? You know what I
You
mean?
like Jack Plummer from Louisville.
I don't know exactly who I like, to be honest, because I haven't spent a whole bunch of time invested in them. But I'm sure they'll add a guy, and I'll have some opinions down the road. But nothing really jumps out to mind. I mean, we okay. So look, let's instead of talking about undrafted guys, Caleb Williams going one, right? Everyone kind of believes he's
Yeah,
going to go,
my
right?
bet's going down the drain.
So two, the rumors are Washington likes Jalen Daniels. So if Jalen Daniels goes two, then it becomes, what do the Patriots do at three? Do they take Drake May, who could be a carbon copy of Mac Jones? And do they want to go that route? Are they willing to take a receiver? Patriots are a bit of a wild card. Could they trade out? Could they shock people and take JJ McCarthy? I'm very interested in
Boy.
seeing how that look. I'm not going to put anything past Robert Kraft. He might look at that winged helmet and say, well, it worked once. Let's do it again. You know what I mean? So it'd be interesting to see how it goes. I still think all four go. My guess is all four go into top 10, no later than 11. All four will be off the board. And it wouldn't surprise me if they went one, two, three, four either. It's going to be those four guys. Wouldn't surprise me to see Bo Nix or Penix jump in. Wouldn't surprise me to see teams trying trade back into the back end of the first round in order to get a Nix or a Penix. Because after that, You're waiting until like day three, probably for maybe third round. You'll take Spencer Rattler, but everyone else is day three after that. So it's going to be interesting to not need a quarterback and have a bunch that could go in the first round. That's music to Brad Holmes' ears.
Yeah, it works for the Lions. I hope six quarterbacks go in the first round because that
Oh,
probably
yeah.
means that six players are out of the way, or six prospects for the Lions get bumped up the list.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where everybody drops. Is there an outside chance, Eric, that Theo Day, former Divine Child quarterback, former MSU quarterback, now Northern Iowa quarterback, he could be an undrafted free agent? Because I can't remember. Did he play with Hutchinson in high school?
Oh, I have no idea.
There
I
could have been some
really
crossover
don't.
there. I probably should have researched that.
He was at the local pro day. That's about all I can remember.
Yeah, all right. Whatever. They're going to bring in one of those guys after the fact. We don't know who it is, and I'm sure you will dig deep once we find out who it is and get us all the information you can on them. Let's go to the running backs. Running back, once again, it's not a position of need for the Lions. The Lions are quite
Sure.
stacked. It would be interesting. There's a possibility they'll take one late if they really like some guy. I wouldn't put that past them. I don't think they're really like, is there a return man they might be interested in that mix? Is there is Coach Phipp, is he thinking about, hey, we want to get a guy like this because he'll be great in the new kickoff, kick return setups? Not even just as a return man, but anywhere on the field. I guess that's the wild card for this team and probably for every team. How they treat that new situation with the kickoffs and how it affects roster construction. You spoke about that before.
I think there's like I have like 11 guys at the top, and then after that, you start pushing guys l later into the draft. And one of those guys that I like outside of like that top 11 is Cody Schrader, who the Lions brought in for a top 30 visit. Basically, he's like a and he I tabbed him as his superpower has been an attitude runner. He runs with power, runs with aggression. He's a guy who wants to like bully people. Lots of grit, right? He's going to check the box on the grit list for sure. Athleticism is not elite, so he's more of like your grinder, but he's a guy who can fill in that RB3 role if they want to bring a guy into challenge. At the same time, I'm not married to him. I don't think that that's a guy they have to go get. In my opinion, they have four running backs that they should feel comfortable with, and another two practice squatters that are okay, and they don't need to address it.
And they'll
But
shuffle guys in and out during the year
yeah,
anyways.
but if they're going to draft a guy, the only guy they really brought in that we know about is Schrader, from running back out of Missouri. So, he's small, but he's aggressive. And if you're talking about returners, one of the guys that stood out to me when I was like looking late is Jawar Jordan out of Louisville. Very, very fast on the field. Did not run very fast at the combine. I think he ran like a 4.56 or something. Like, but he's got return skills. He was a speed back. Very fast, in my opinion. I thought he was a really difficult guy to handle. Tested terrible, but I think he plays better. He's probably an undrafted guy, but a guy that I would be excited if he ends up in Detroit. You probably say the same thing about Keelan Robinson, Texas's like RB2. He was like their change of pace back. Again, fast. And somebody I wouldn't mind bringing in as a UDFA.
Did any of the coaching staff play with Frank Gore to where they would want to draft his son?
Geez,
I
that's a
don't
great
think so.
question.
Well, I'm
I don't
sure one of
think
them
so either,
has,
but yeah, Frank played
he played
everywhere, right?
forever.
So
Yeah, and he played at the
yeah.
same time as all those guys did. That is all the
Yeah.
Lions coaches did. So
Boy,
maybe, maybe not.
I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't have a tie off the top of my head.
All right, easy positions are out of the way. Wide receiver.
Yeah.
This is a position of need for the Lions, even regardless of whether they locked up Amon-Ra St. Brown for a $120 million contract. They still need as you point out, an X receiver, an outside receiver. You and I are in the ballpark of we want it to be a bigger guy. It's not a necessity, but it would make some sense.
Yeah.
The Lions are probably out on the top. It would be a big shocker if they traded up to get one of the top guys, whether it's Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Romeo Odunze, even a Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU. But, you know, the last time we talked, we had the ability to draft one of those other receivers in our little mock draft. And we talked about a lot of those guys. And I don't know, who do you like out of the group and who's a potential guy out of the group?
I still think Brian Thomas is a guy that would entice them enough that they would consider going after him if he slides a little bit. Everything you want out of an X. He's 6'3", 209, runs a 4.33. He's going to give you a lot of the same characteristics that you had in DJ Chark when he was here that season, and probably with a little bit higher ceiling as well. I like Thomas a bunch. I know that they would be interested. I just don't think he's going to slide far enough down, in my opinion. The only thing that you can hope for is that somebody looks at Xavier Worthy's 4.21 and says, oh, I got to have him. And then he ends up going like as wide receiver 4, which then pushes Thomas down maybe within maybe trade up range. I don't know. Thomas is a guy that intrigues me the most. He's a guy I would be excited for them to add. Excuse me. You have an opinion on Thomas or any of these?
I don't know. I don't want them to use a high pick on these receivers. You know, like, I'm okay if they take one later and kind of develop them. Yet what, sure. Once it's looking at St. Brown's career, now it's going to be hard for Holmes and the gang to come up to strike lightning twice on that position, right? Where they pick some guy late and he ends up being a big star. I would prefer that the Lions not take a receiver early. I don't know why. I think that the Lions do well by picking trench players, you know, guys near the line of scrimmage, and I guess running backs and linebackers, you know, that group, and building from the inside out. You know, the Jameson Williams, the jury's still out on him. So I don't know. None of these guys really stick out. I always like the Washington receivers, you know, after watching them all year, but none of them really fit except for Odunze, but he's out for the Lions. But the other guys like Polk and McMillan and that, like, they don't fit what the Lions are doing, you know, or they don't fit that, you know, like the Lions already have depth where if they go with any of those guys. I don't know. There's really nobody on this list that really intrigues me besides Keon Coleman, but that's also a bias one.
I like Keon Coleman. I actually, so that next tier after Brian Thomas, I have Ladd McConkey, A.D. Mitchell, and then Keon Coleman all in that same tier. And Coleman isn't ranked as high as those two, as the other two, but I think he's just as equal of a player. And that's why I have him in the same tier. I have Ladd at the top of this group, which goes against the, I want a bigger body receiver, but Ladd's just, he's always open. Right. And so I tossed and turned about whether I should put Mitchell ahead because I think that's what the Lions might like, or I went with my gut. I went with my gut and I put McConkey ahead. Now, after that tier, at the top of the next group for me is Xavier Leggett. And I think from what I can gather, draft Twitter and, you know, analysts like Leggett more than NFL teams do. But I also think the Lions would really like him as well. Stylistically, he is going to remind you a little bit of A.J. Brown. Got a little bit of Deebo Samuel in him. Remember, the Brad Holmes tried to trade for Deebo Samuel a couple years back, right? And so I think he could slide to their pick in the second round. Or maybe they make a move, they'll move up in the second round. But I think Leggett is going to be their second round pick. That's my gut feeling right now. So I'm gonna plant my flag on that and say Leggett in the second round, that's probably the pick. So I'm on board with you probably not taking a wide receiver in the first, but I think Leggett in the second round, and watch out, that's going to be a pretty explosive offense.
Wow, that's surprising. Do you need a Ludens over there or a
I don't know what
Halls?
I you know what I'm not drinking water. I need to drink like
Oh, see,
a
yeah,
whole cup of water here,
that'll get
and
you
so
every
I
time.
stop. Yeah, I'm trying to do too much, and I need to pause and take a sip. That's my I'm apologize.
No, it's no, you don't need to apologize. Nobody would have even known you coughed until I said something, because I think you muted yourself.
So like after Ligeto, there's other intriguing options. There's a couple guys that I really like that I don't think the Lions would. Like I like Roman Wilson, I like Malachi Corey.
No, you don't like Roman. That's a biased pick.
Well, but he's
We're
more of a
always
slot
told
guy.
about how great he is, and that's
No.
usually like he's not that great.
But I like how he can stretch the field. I like his route running. There's a lot. He reminds me of the Spartan receiver who went to the Packers.
Jaden Reed.
Jaden Reed. Yeah, I got that same kind of vibe, like where I like him, and I liked him in the second round too. I like Roman Wilson. I just don't know if he fits with what the Lions want to accomplish, and so I like him more than I think the Lions will. If they don't get Leggett, keep an eye on Devontae Walker in the third, Brendan Rice in the third. Maybe Rice slips to the fourth. But those are that's kind of you're getting near the end of the nice tier of X's. I when you get to day three, Luke McCaffrey's interesting if you think he can play outside a little bit more, or even if you're taking him on day three, you probably don't care where if he's a slot guy because he's just gonna be a reserve anyways. You're not talking about a starter. I like Cornelius Johnson too from Michigan. I just don't like him as much as Roman. I think Cornelius is probably like a fifth rounder, where I think Roman's a second, right? So, but there's a handful of guys. There's a handful of guys that are out there that are interesting. But I'm of the mindset that they would prefer a bigger body wide receiver with some speed. And there are some options. And like I'm gonna plant my flag on Leggett.
All right, well, that's a good one to stick with. I'm looking through the list. Any of the guys I really like Isaiah Williams from Illinois, I always liked him. He's a slot
Yeah,
man.
slot,
Like,
slot. Lot of really good, lot of
there's a lot of
really
good
good
slot
slot
receivers
guys.
in this draft,
Yeah.
but and I know that Amon-Ra's really not just a slot man, but the same he can occupy that space, so does Khalif Raymond. So it's
Oh,
probably not a
you
target.
mentioned returner.
No, potentially. Lions might not be in who knows what they if they're in the market for one of those.
If they are, and you want one on day three. Anthony Gould. He is built like a slot receiver, but he played outside at Oregon State and he has return ability. And I think he's got that kind of hiccup stuff. Like Malachi Corey is probably the best return option guy, but he's gonna go on day two. If you're looking at day three, Anthony Gould, that guy has some return ability. And even though he's undersized, I think he can play inside and he can play outside and give you a little bit of slot or give you a little bit of return ability. Kind of Khalif Raymond like, right? I don't think he, I mean, Khalif is, I don't, so do you need a second Khalif? I don't know. But if you think you need a return guy, Gould, that's the name to keep in mind.
All right, the tight end group. Once again, tight end's a pretty full position with the returning, basically all the tight ends from last year between the Pro Bowler Sam Laporta, rookie Sam Laporta, and all of his records, Brock Wright and his matched restricted free agent deal, and Shane Zylstra is going to be coming off an injury, and then James Mitchell, all those guys come back. Four tight ends. Maybe they add a fifth once again with the rule changes with the kickoffs. Dan Campbell's an ex-tight end. He loves tight ends. There is potential here. When we talked earlier about it would be a guy who's going to be later. It's definitely not going to be Brock Bowers. Definitely not going to be Jatavion Sanders. It maybe a Tip Ryman from Illinois. Maybe an AJ Barner from Michigan. Those
Yeah.
type.
Those are the two guys I think are the most realistic. Now I like Ben Sinnott and Cade Stover, but I think they go third, fourth round, right? Like probably early, probably late third round. And so I think that's too rich for the investment that the Lions want to make. Ryman and Barner, you can probably get in the fifth. And I think both those guys are terrific. Both two really, really excellent blockers. And you've got a little bit of the pass catching ability. Tip reminds me my comp for him, Brock Wright. So like a up, like a not as polished version of that, the way Brock is now, but I think he's further along than Brock was when Brock came out of Notre Dame. So he's further along, but he still has a ways to go before he'll be as consistent. But I think his blocking is better too. And that is the that will give him the opportunity to get on the field. And yeah, I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't hate it if they took Tip or AJ Barner like in the fifth. I'd be totally fine with that.
No names really stick out on this list for me as you go down. Not the greatest tight end class, you know. Interesting thing, just a little side note. Brock Bowers, you know, when he was a freshman, when he was a sophomore at Georgia, like, this is the greatest player in college football. He's the greatest young player in college football. This is the guy. Yeah. Nothing but accolades about him. They win, you know, he wins national championships. And now he's coming out in the draft. He's a highly rated, you know, draft pick, but like, he's kind of lost in the wash. Like, nobody's really talking about him now.
Yeah. Yeah. The kind of crazy thing is if you have four quarterbacks go and this is going to be a very heavy offensive tackle draft, and especially in the first round, in my opinion. And then if someone wants a defender, I think we're going to quickly be reminded of how the league values the tight end position. You know,
but somebody's going to end up with a really good tight end. You know, somebody who's a pretty, not a bad team, one of this could be a big plus for them, you know, going into next season, that they could push themselves into, you know, like a playoff. No, it won't be just one guy, but here's a guy who's going to make an offense more powerful.
Yeah. Like, look, if he goes to the Jets, he's going to be,
oh boy,
he's not going to be successful. But if he goes to like the Ravens, oh, he'll be a Pro Bowler. You know what I mean? Like,
right away.
He's a top 10 player who should go into top 10, but may not go into top 10 because, you know, the league just doesn't value the position. I mean, look, the Pitts in Atlanta, like, he was the last one to really go like high, and he's had a down season or two, and it's another cautionary tale because offenses don't always know how to use tight ends properly. Not the case in Detroit, but it definitely is the case with some of those other franchises that they're excited, they get a guy, and they don't use them properly, and you know, it ends up being a waste. And I think that's what, when you factor in that a lot of the teams don't value the positions highly, and he could slide a little bit, and like you said, if he goes to a great team, he could have a really nice career, and if not, he's probably going to work his butt off trying to get targets.
All right. Moving on over to the offensive tackles, here's an area of need for the Lions and potentially a target even tomorrow, even in that with their first round pick. Won't be a guy like Joe Alt. It won't be a guy like Fashanu from Penn State, but who knows? Crazier things have happened if he starts slipping. J.C. Latham from Alabama, interesting guy, because you've seen him a million times. I've seen him play a million games. It's surprising to me he's only a junior. I thought he would be like one of those fifth year seniors that we saw play all 5 years, you know, like he would have started 70 games in Alabama, but that's not true. Giant man. That's why I'm more interested in him. I always like the huge players. It'll be more, you know, little bit later, you know, guys that are a little bit later, we would be looking at.
And I think Fuaga and Fathianu from Washington, that like I have on my guard board or my interior board, I think some teams might view them as tackles as well. And so like all five of those guys that we just mentioned there, like they could all be off the board in the top like 15. Like that's how highly touted they are. For the Lions, I think they prefer the guys with the interior presence a little bit more. At the same time, I think they're probably going to be out of striking range for the Lions. Mims from Georgia is an interesting character. Massive 6'8", 340, right? Like But he still needs some polish. I mean, he needs a lot of polish.
Well, he
And
can
so,
sit the
no, go
bench for a year, and then when they
ahead.
slide Penei Sewell over to left tackle, he can move on up and play right tackle next season.
I'm a little bit gun shy over them taking a tackle in the first round, but I do think they will take a tackle at some point. Will it be the third? I mean, maybe it could be the third. I think there's very competent tackles in this class that are probably valued in the third round. Roger Rosegarden from Washington, Blake Fisher from Notre Dame, Brandon Coleman from TCU. Those guys are all third rounders that I think completely fit the profile of what the Lions are looking for. They're either swing tackles who can, be upgrade for OT3, or a guy like Coleman who has tackle guard flexibility. All those guys make a lot of sense to me in the third round. I always mess up the Yale kid's name, Abengadje. I'm sure I mispronounced that anyway as well, but I
It's
tried to
probably
learn
close
it.
enough.
I've tried. I've tried and I
If
just
he ends
can't
up
get
being a Lion, we'll learn it.
Oh, 100%.
Or a Bear or Viking or Packer.
I think he's got some tackle guard range too. And third round makes a lot of sense for him as well. So, those kind of four guys in the third round are guys that I have my eye on. If you go into day three, it gets a little tricky because some of the guys I like are more, I consider more fourth rounders. If they slide to the fifth, though, I'd be interested in guys like Jabion Foster, who's a local kid, played at Missouri, Caden Wallace from Penn State, and then Christian Jones from Texas, who I think some teams might like more than others. He's kind of unique, a unique player. Right tackle experience, but I think that's gonna again, it's gonna be just fine for the Lions. And he can probably has enough swing ability to play left side in a pinch if he needed to as well. So, handful of tackles that I like. There's probably what seven I just named there that are probably like third to fifth round. All of them would be upgrades, all of them would be filling a big position of need, like you mentioned right off the top.
All right. You kind of mentioned a couple of the interior linemen, Talisi Fuaga, Troy Fatanu. Those are from Oregon State and Washington, respectively. Those are guys that play both tackle and guard, more likely to be guards in the NFL. Earlier draft picks, that would, like Zeitler's 34 years old. Glasgow's 31 years old. Of course, they're older at the guard positions. This would be a position of need. You have a guy like Jackson Powers Johnson, who probably isn't going to be on the board at 29, but he also plays center. And who knows about Frank Ragnow's health going forward? He says he's going to play a long time. We'll see. But there, now guard, there's a bevy of good players: Graham
Oh,
Barton
yeah.
from Duke and Zach Frazier from West Virginia. All these guys, those top five guards, like the Lions would have interest in all of them.
Yeah. Graham Barton's versatility, I think, is going to put him higher on a lot of teams' boards than Powers Johnson. But I like Powers Johnson better because I think they're going to be looking for a guy who has that right ta that I'm sorry, that right guard mentality. A guy who wants to go out and bully you, and to me, that's Powers Johnson, and that's Frazier, the Zach Frazier from West Virginia. To me, one of those two guys might be the Lions' first round pick. Jackson Powers Johnson is a guy who is, both him and Frazier, they both have a lot of center experience. They both can play guard. They're both kind of bullies. In my opinion, Frazier is maybe stylistically or and like mentally better suited to Detroit. I like Powers Johnson a little bit more as a player personally. I just like his movement skills a little bit. At the same time, Zach Frazier was coming out is coming off a broken leg, and so maybe that's why he didn't move quite as well at the combine as I was hoping. But Frazier has he's one of the top players in the grit index. He's got, like I said, positional flexibility. He's got tenacity, his ability, the desire to just bury the guy. And he can back up. He's immediately both these guys back up all three spots on day interior spots on day one. And then they're a Zeitler replacement on day two, or I'm sorry, in year two, I'd be okay with it. I'd be okay with either guy. The connections, though, that people are making with Zach Frazier to Detroit are starting to pile up. And it's not just guys that, it's not just analysts that are just like, oh, I read this guy over at, you know, draftpickums.com or whatever. Like, this is like
terrible name for a website.
It was, it's guys like Dane Brugler and Dave Burkett and Daniel Jeremiah and Peter Schrager. And it's like, oh, look, all of these guys that are like connected and tend to be right quite often, they all are connecting the dots between Zach Frazier and the Lions. Now, I know there's going to be a lot of people that are going to say, oh, we'll trade back because he's a second rounder, because that's what this board I saw told me. And I get it. I get that there's people like NFL.com doesn't, they gave him like a late third round grade, and it's not like it everyone else has got him kind of like in the early second. But Brandon Holmes isn't going to care, because when you get to a point in the draft, player 22 is going to be really close to player 50. And so he's not going to care if Zach Frazier is ranked 30th on your board or 40th on your board, and Brad Holmes is picking it at 29 and there's not that big of a difference. He's going to take the guy that he wants. And man, there's a lot of people pointing to Zach Frazier. And so I'm tempted to plant my flag and say they take Zach Frazier in round one. I'm not ready to do that yet, because going offense would definitely be a bold choice for the Lions. At the same time, you wouldn't have to go offense, you know, like you'd be filling a couple big needs for long-term stability by doing that. But man, Frazier makes a ton of sense. And I'm very interested in him.
If they go offense, you know, tomorrow or the next few days, 2025 NFL draft, they'll draft zero offensive players. It'll all be defensive players, every last one of them.
Because they're going to have like massive stability. Like, because almost all of the guys that are on offense are signed for multiple years at this point. And maybe you need to draft Graham's replacement a year from now. I don't know. I doubt it, but like,
no, you just find the short-term stopgap.
It's if they can land a top-notch interior offensive lineman and a top-notch receiver, you're set at offense for a while. And here's the thing. If they add Leggett, they might have the best starting 11 in the NFL on offense. Like, that's how close they are to this, to just being able to just top this thing off. Like, they're returning all their starters except for Reynolds and Jonah, and they replaced Jonah with Zeitler. And so now it's like, if they add a top 100 receiver, it's a good chance to be even better on offense than you were a year ago.
All right, as you go deeper in the draft, guys like Cooper Beebe could interest the Lions, Christian Haynes, Kingsley Suamataya, that's Penei Sewell's cousin, right?
Correct.
I have that right. Dominic Pooney from Kansas, Zach Zinter, one of Eric's favorites. I like him too. He went out the Heroes injury against Ohio State, so he's still trying to come back from that. You know, all those guys could interest the Lions too if they pass on interior offensive line early on.
Yeah, and look, this is a very deep offensive line class, and it's not often that I think it's going to go this deep again. Cooper Beebe's comp is Zeitler. Like, he's a guy who I think will be Kevin Zeitler when it's all said and done. He's got that type of ceiling. Every one of those guys I would be very comfortable with, right down to Zinter and Mahogany, who are even in my tier after the other guys you mentioned. Zinter, in my opinion, provides excellent value. You're going to get him at a cheaper price, and because of his broken leg, and he's a guy who is a starter a year from now. Like, there's not a doubt in my mind he's going to be starting in the league. So if you go deeper than that, if you
Mason
somehow
McCormick from
don't,
South Dakota State.
Mason McCormick. What's neat about McCormick is he hits that 447 rule, right? The short shuttle 447 rule. There's a study out by Josh Norris where he has noticed this trend that basically, if an offensive lineman runs a short shuttle in 447 or faster, they almost inevitably have success in the NFL. Like they end up with a starting role or a backup role, or they hang out for like an extended amount of years just because of their athleticism. And almost all the ones that get drafted end up in very promising roles. And so there's a handful of those guys in this class. Mason McCormick, Tanner Bordellini, the Wisconsin center. Both those guys qualify in that. Dominic Pooney from Kansas, who you mentioned earlier, qualifies in that. And I think there's a couple late guys like Dylan McMahon, but he's kind of in like seventh round range. He qualifies into that as well, but I don't know if he's a guy if I would put him on the path to success like I would some of the other guys.
Tanner Bordellini, don't bet against Wisconsin offensive linemen.
Sure.
Right.
The Lions actually have one guy on their roster that has a 447 a short shuttle.
What's it, Penei Sewell?
Nope, it's Matt Farinok, the
Oh, okay.
Nebraska. He played tackle at Nebraska and then shifted inside when he was with the Cowboys, and then Lions picked him up and had him on a practice squad. So, not a name I think many people would know, but he's sticking around because he's got that athleticism.
I did say don't bet against Wisconsin offensive linemen, but then I made the egregious error of passing over former Detroit Lion Aaron Gibson. There's a Wisconsin offensive lineman that they could have passed on.
I know their tackle stayed because I had watched their Wisconsin's tackle, and I spotlighted him. He went back to school. I don't remember his name because he's not in the draft, and that's where my focus is.
He's
But I,
meaningless to you now.
yeah, right
He
now, yeah,
doesn't exist to you now.
I'll know his name in a few months. But I wrote an article about him, or like a segment on him. But I have no idea what his name is. But I think Bordellini is the only
He's
Wisconsin
the only
offensive
Wisconsin
lineman.
up
I think so.
compared to like Michigan has six offensive somehow has
Right.
six offensive linemen in this group.
Yep.
Wisconsin only has one. What a world. All right. Flip it over to the defensive side of the ball, defensive tackle. Here's another position that the Lions have somewhat of a need for. They have added DJ Reader and they do have Aleem McNeil. Those will be the two starters in the middle, but they'd be looking for depth. They'd probably be looking for a potential replacement for Aleem McNeil if they
Or
don't want to.
insurance. I like
Insurance,
this. There you go.
in case his number's too high and the Lions don't want to pay it, or if he just wants to move on.
Yeah.
Byron Murphy the second, he's the top defensive tackle, probably not going to be
Yeah.
in the universe. Johnny Newton is potentially a guy who could be there at 29, or if Brad wanted to trade up.
Yeah. He's a ideal fit. If you're looking defense and you want a trench player, I think Newton's the one that makes the most sense. And I'm talking edge as well. Like if you're looking for a trench player on that defensive line, Newton is the name you want. High grit level player, just a nasty mentality, really good pass rusher, really stout and stout against the run. Lions interviewed him at the combine, then they also brought him in for a top 30 visit. He's a guy who fits this team, this coaching staff in a lot of ways. And he'd be insurance for Aleem's contract. He'd be insurance for Reader's ability, his health and his age.
In his
And
age, yeah.
you need a third rotational guy anyways. We've talked about this previously, but I'm of the mindset that you can either draft a defensive tackle or you can draft an edge rusher. Because you have Kaminsky and Pascal, you can, and they're position flexible, you can kind of go either way. If you want to draft an edge rusher, Kaminsky and Pascal are going to spend more time on the interior. You draft an interior player, Kaminsky and Pascal are going to spend more time on the edge, and then that lessens the need for an edge player. So, yes, you can take both, but I think you take one, and you're going to feel comfortable with where your roster is at. Newton is a very, very high fit for me, and a guy I would be excited for if they ended up landing him.
In the next grouping, you have guys like Chris Jenkins, Braden Fisk, Rook Araujo, who I think that's who we took in our
correct. Yep, local kid.
In our
local
mock draft, kid. Yeah, local yep. kid. Even Braden, wasn't Braden Fisk a Western guy before he transferred to Florida
that's
State?
Correct. That's correct.
Those guys might interest the Lions if they have an opportunity to pick them later.
Yeah, all three guys have ties to the state, right?
Right.
In one
yeah,
way
Jenkins
or another.
Is a Michigan.
So that's right. So I like the group. I like that group as well, and I'd be okay with it. Like if Leggett isn't there on the board in round two, and you wanted to take one of these guys, I'd be comfortable with that. I like all three of them.
Now, my guy who's just falling like a stone on the draft board, and he's breaking my heart, Tavondre Sweat from Texas, the giant nose tackle who could also catch touchdown passes. He's he's known partier apparently, and he said those days are behind him, and then happened to get a DWI after the combine. It happens.
Yeah,
you know,
it doesn't help when teams are like, hey, this is a big issue for you. And he's like, nah, it's good. It's behind me. And then you do said thing. Yeah, not great. It only takes one team, right? Somebody might look at him and say, I have a plan for him. And if everyone's going to sleep on him, I'll just take him in the third. You know what I mean? And they're not going to care. I got a comp pick. I'm going to take him with a comp pick. Or, you know, I don't know if he's going to go like in the second round, which is where he was projected to go before. But I could absolutely see a team saying, he's too talented. I can keep him under control. I have a veteran presence. I have a veteran defensive tackle that can keep him take him under his wing. And I could absolutely see him going in the third round, even though he has been falling quite quickly.
And that team is the Philadelphia Eagles.
Did he play Georgia? No, he plays at Texas, so he won't go to the Eagles.
Texas,
they only take Georgia players. But right. Yes, that would be something to add him to the Eagles. That would be very interesting.
Deeper,
guy have,
I don't, oh,
go, yeah,
ahead.
Go ahead. I was
I'm
gonna
not
guy have
liking
right
anybody
next to
deeper.
Him. Yeah, not deeper than like Sweat, right?
Yeah, I could look at those names around Sweat, and I'm not gonna like him as much as Sweat.
You know, they brought in Christian Boyd from Northern Iowa, who's probably getting, you know, this is again, if you get down to that fifth round range and you're looking for somebody, you could look at Christian Boyd. He is an interesting character, played at lower level because he played at Northern Iowa. So he played at lower level competition, but he dominated that lower level of competition, which is exactly what you want, right? Like, and when I say dominated, I mean, I'm trying not to exaggerate. It's like, he was in the upper echelon of stops. He was in the upper echelon of pressures. The statistics are just all over the board. He did not go to the combine, so the Lions brought him in for a top 30 visit. But yeah, he'd be a guy if he's there like in the fifth. And they haven't taken the defensive tackle. He'd be on my radar for a guy to take. Beyond him, Fabian Lovett is an interesting. Like in the sixth round, maybe from Florida State, nose tackle at Florida State. He's interesting to me. He was one of the guys I profiled heading into the combine. Great length, great size, stout against the run, but that's about it. Like, so he's just like purely a run stuffer. But yeah, it's not great. They have other pass rushers that kind of go in between Sweat and the Arojos of the world, like Michael Hall, Mason Smith, Mekhi Wingo. Those guys are all good pass rushers who maybe you get in a third round, or maybe you reach, yeah, you, or, you know, maybe you got to reach up and take them in a second because you don't think they'll be there in the third round. Couple of those guys have unique combinations. Like Mason Smith from LSU, he's 6'5", 306, right? Like with 35-inch arms. Like that's a tough That's a tough size, speed, strength combo player to pass on if you're really looking to try and add a high upside player. Like the frame on him is very impressive, and teams are going to be drawn to that, and they're going to be intrigued by him, and so he might go. Like you, I could see him going in the second round instead of maybe the third.
Anybody deep, deep, deep? I'm not seeing anybody really deep.
Nothing stands out really. Like once you start getting past, and we named a guy in the fifth and the sixth, and that's probably it, right? Logan Lee from Iowa. I mean, they love Iowa guys, right?
They do, yep, Iowa or Alabama. There's a good chance they could end up a Lion.
Logan Lee is he's more like a five technique, so he's got that like edge. It kind of fits the mold of the Kaminsky Pascal type thing. But again, you're taking him not to be a contributor. You're taking him to like try and draft and develop. It's not like you're expecting him to give you much contribution.
All right, moving over to edge defenders. Of course, Lions took an edge defender two drafts ago, Aiden Hutchinson, number two overall.
And then they took Houston that same
Then they
draft.
took, James Houston over in the sixth round. They've taken Josh Pascal in the second round.
Same draft,
Was
right?
that same draft? Yeah, 2 years ago. The aforementioned John Kaminsky. They do have guys, right? They
Yeah.
added Davenport. Was it Marcus Davenport from New Orleans? But is it enough? Is it enough of a pass rush presence? And no, we don't. Nobody knows that answer. Even the Lions don't know that answer. Top players probably Lions aren't going to be looking at them. Dallas Turner from Alabama, Jared Verse, Florida State, Latu from UCLA, who's kind of a developmental guy, but it's got a lot of all the measurables are there, right? Those
Yeah, he's
guys
got
may
a
not.
neck injury. That's a little
There
scary
you
with him. Yep.
go. Lions probably not going to jump up to grab any of those guys. It'd
I don't
probably be
think
another
so.
position if
Yeah.
they do jump up. Now, the next grouping, Chop Robinson from Penn State, Darius Robinson from Missouri, local guy, Marshawn Nealon, also quote unquote local Western Michigan. Like that's the
Yep.
next tier of guys, could be a target for the Lions at the end of the first, or even in the second round, if one of them drops.
Yeah, I mean the trick here is, are you getting value at the position, and is the player too good to pass up? Because that's the thing with edge, is it's not pressing, but it's still something that you could upgrade. And so, if you are comfortable with Chop Robinson's low level of production and you love his intangibles, then you might go after him. Honestly, I could see somebody else taking him like in the 20s for that same reason as well. Darius Robinson could slide because he's not a pure pass rusher. He's the Kaminsky Pascal type edge rusher. And so that's going to, he, I think he could slide a little bit, but he's a better version. And again, that 6'5", 285. And we just talked about that with Wingo, where when you're 6'5", 285 and you play on that line, it's you have intriguing intangibles, and you have an intriguing size combination that matches with your production. And yes, the athleticism isn't going to match up in a way, like it's not going to be very comparable to Chop Robinson, but if you are using him, I don't, inside a third of the time, a quarter of the time, well, he's going to match up real well in those situations athletically against a guard as opposed to a tackle. And so I still think Darius Robinson is in play. Nealand is a name that's rising. We'll see how high he rises. Reminds me, he's again like a Josh Pascal type. When you get past Nealand, so that's like edge six. After that, everybody's situational to me. Okay. Like you're not looking at a guy who's going to challenge to start. So, in my opinion, you got six edge guys that can challenge to start, and maybe you take one of them because the opportunity is there to take one and you don't want to pass it up. But after that, you're just taking a guy that you think is better than James Houston, or better than, or can be potentially better than Marcus Davenport. And there's some guys that are going to fit it. Adisa Isaac, Chris Braswell, those are guys that would be very good at the Sam position. But you probably are going to have to take him like in the second round. And I don't know if they're willing to take a guy who's probably going to be like a specialty type player only, and then use a second round pick in order to acquire it. I don't know if that's a good use of your resources. So we slide a little bit later. There's some other options. I think Braylon Trice would be a terrific backup to Aiden Hutchinson. Jalix Hunt from Houston Christian has an intriguing profile to me. Former safety turned edge. Mohamed Kamara is got a lot of grit to him and good edge play. Brennan Jackson has got a relentless motor. These are guys you might find in the fifth round, if maybe. I don't know. I don't think if they're going to slide, but those guys kind of stand out to me as options. Javion Solomon is, I think, another Sam option. Jalen Harrell, no, is another Sam option, and they interviewed Nelson Cesar at the combine. He's more of like a pass rushing, a down, defensive lineman, but he's a pass rusher, and that's a guy they showed some interest in at the combine. So there's some options, but like the how you're going to use them, it kind of falls off the cliff after those first six guys to me, and it gets you turn to they turn into specialists very quick.
Guys, I always kind of like, and I know that in football, this might be falling off the table as football continues to change. It's like this position in particular is guys that like were a star or a solid player for 4 years at a big school, and
Yeah.
like they don't project high in an NFL draft, but they had a lot of production, going throughout college, and just once again a situational type guy, deep in the drafts.
You
I
got
don't
someone
know
in
this.
mind?
Well, yes, and Javonte Jean-Baptiste from Notre Dame, Trajan Jeffcoat from
Yeah,
Arkansas. Those are deep guys that are not like they're not even like
Baptiste.
draftable guys, but like
Well,
guys
Jean
like that
Baptiste
always
played
interest
it.
me.
Jean Baptiste played at Iowa, or I'm sorry, Iowa, at Ohio
Ohio
State. Like
State,
he was,
yeah.
yeah, he was pretty good at Ohio State too. Like I think he has a nice athletic profile. Maybe you can put him out at the Sam, and yeah, I'd be interested in him if he's there. Like I think he might, maybe he could you draft in 6th, 7th round. But yeah, Jean Baptiste is a guy who came up on my radar several times when I was doing my profile series during the college season. And I don't think I ever got to use him. I might have used him once. I'm not 100%, but he was a guy I was constantly kind of like keeping tabs on because I liked him when he was at Ohio State. I didn't get to watch him much at Notre Dame, but he left a decent impression on me. And I like his athleticism. So, yeah, I mean, he's an interesting guy. I think, look, like both Michigan guys like Harrell and McGregor, they're more like 1 year starters as opposed to like 4 year
Right.
producers, right?
Yep. To no fault of their own, they're a
Yeah,
very
no,
good
they're behind it
program.
exactly. Da, 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 da. I don't really see anybody that has like a high level of production at, there's some interesting guys like da, da, da. Like Jeffcoat, like you mentioned Jeffcoat previously, Trajan Jeffcoat from Arkansas. Like, I think he was a big name in college. I just don't like how he transitions, but he was a name in college that I think people would pay attention to.
Yeah, I did. I'm not. Yeah, I'm not. I'm not saying these guys are going to be good. There's some if former Darryl Tapp was a former Lion, right? Not drafted by the
Yeah,
Lions, but
sure.
guys like that who were,
They played great,
and
Virginia
those
Tech.
guys probably don't fit. Tapp was a fourth round draft pick. Other guys, Corey Redding, third round draft pick. Jared DeVries, third round draft pick. All Lions. All spent a chunk of time as Lions and were productive players. Weren't great players, but I don't know. They're. And maybe because it's just happened a few times the last 25 years with the Lions, like there's nothing to me. It always seemed like there's nothing wrong with going after guys who had great production in college, and may not don't project to be first round draft picks, but they have a lot of experience, and I don't know. That usually counts for
Sure.
something, but maybe not as much anymore. With the way football's changing.
I just don't know if there's like that guy in this class. It's an unusual class because it's kind of it's light at the very top. You don't have a top 10 guy, in my opinion, even though one of them might go in the top 10. I don't think you have a top 10 guy. You have a group of guys that'll probably go like in the teens, early 20s, and you have another group of guys that are gonna be fringe first, second rounders. And then it's it. You get into, like I said, you get into more specialists as opposed to guys who I think are going to be like, that guy's going to be a starter in the league. I just don't see that player this year on the edge anyway.
Moving over linebackers, line's pretty set at linebacker. Although you do mention the Sam position, we kind of lumped that in with the edge. We're talking about Mikes and Wills. Lions bring back most of the guys from last year. Once again, the new kickoff rules, kick return rules. Maybe they're looking for a different type of player. Maybe they'd be looking for a linebacker on the list. They do need a sixth guy at this point. Will it come through the draft? I don't know.
Well, the guy I had identified based on my research going into the combine and then based on how I thought he would produce at the combine and then how he did was Trevon Wallace from Kentucky. I was very high on him. I thought most of the reports I saw had him very low, late day three, mid day three type of guy. And I was like, I don't understand. I like how he plays and he looks athletic to me. And so I had him tabbed. And then he did well. He hit all the markers that I was looking for. And he was like one of the last like guys. Like he was like the guy that stood out to me at the linebacker position. And then all of a sudden, Dane Brugler comes out and puts him 86. Daniel Jeremiah comes out and puts him 95 and or 96. And I'm like, oh, great. He's not this like hidden gem that I thought he was. He's the reason I like him is because, oh, other people like him too. He's a good player. He's potentially top 100 player type of thing. And so, I was hoping he would be a hidden gem. I was hoping he was a guy that people were going to be overlooking. I think that's not going to be the case anymore. So I was hoping, but very likely he goes end of third round, fourth round, and that's not a good spot for Lions picking a linebacker. You're looking for guys
More
late.
pressing needs.
Yeah. So if you're looking for guys late, you're looking at special teamers. You're looking at guys that you can add like sixth, seventh round. Two stand out to me. Aaron Casey is out of Indiana, is a guy that they interviewed at the combine. Very highly productive special teamer and a guy I think you can get late. The other one's Michael Barrett from Michigan. Reminds me a lot of Jalen Reeves-Maybin. 6-year player for Michigan. 4-year starter. He played, this is to tell you how far back he goes. He basically took over for like Jabril Peppers, like that viper position that Peppers, like now there was an in between. There was a player in between. And I'm blanking on his name. He plays in Washington now. But there was another guy in between. But
Wasn't
then
Josh
Barrett.
Metellus, was it?
No. Metellus was a safety at Michigan. It
That's
was
what, well, I couldn't remember if he was the Viper or play.
yeah, no, he could have been, but he was he played safety. No, I'm he would the name wouldn't stand out. If I said it, you'd recognize it. But it's not a guy like that you'd pull. I'd have to look him up. But Barrett was like the third evolution after him, after Peppers, right? But he started out playing that role. Don Brown gets fired. And Barrett shifts to Will essentially. He's playing next to Junior Colson, who is, I think, the top linebacker in this class. And he starts for like 2 years, but he's undersized. He's not super athletic, but he's also like very tenacious, good nose for the ball. Michael Barrett was a high school quarterback and came to Detroit or came to Detroit, came to Michigan as an athlete and he tried different things and ended up at linebacker. And I think there's a future for him in a similar way that there's a that Jalen Reeves-Maybin found success. Probably won't go in the fourth like Reeves did, but I think you can get him late, and he's a guy you can put on special teams, and then he's going to be all of a sudden he's going to be on all your special teams, and then a year or two from now you're like, oh, this is our special teams captain type of guy. So I like Barrett, I like Casey, And I'm sure there's other special teamers that stand out. The only other guy that like JT Bertrand from Notre Dame, I think he's another
Oh,
interesting guy
really?
late. I think he could be a guy late that makes sense to me. Two-time captain, right? Yeah, you could get him if you can get him later in the draft. I wouldn't mind him either.
I was looking at guys like Tommy Eichenberg and JD Bertrand because the guys they're used to seeing, they're once again
Sure.
experienced middle linebackers. And the Lions, as we saw in the NFC Championship game, once they lost Derek Barnes, things was wait, was that the NFC Championship game? Am I getting
Yeah,
my game
yeah,
screwed up?
yeah.
Yeah.
No, you know,
All
you're
right.
right.
Once they lost Barnes Anzalone had to move over. Like they started to struggle. The linebacking crew started to struggle. So to me, they need another Mike, but is there room on the roster for another Mike?
Well, you know, I
And
think
they'd
the
have to
thing
be
is,
good on top of it. So if
sure.
you lose Barnes, they could come in and do an admirable
Sure.
job.
If you can have a Sam, if James Houston is ready, or if you draft a Sam, then you don't need to play Jack at the Sam. You can play Jack at the Mike, and he can be the backup. You know what I mean? Like, that's
Right.
really what it should be. So, in my opinion, if you want to have the way you prevent overlap for that is you upgrade your Sam position. And then that upgrades kind of everything at that point. So that's what I would be interested in. The Mike, I don't care. I don't care if Bertrand can. I mean, the fact that he plays the Mike is it's great, great. But as long as he needs to play special teams as well.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yep,
Jalen,
they have to double duty.
Jalen Ford from Texas is another, big school name, productive, good athletic profile. You're probably going to get him late too. So he kind of fits that mold as well.
All right, corners. Position of we all know this is a position of need for the Lions. Terrion Arnold, Quinyon Mitchell. They're the guys near the top. Mitchell might be the top defensive back player going in the draft, but Arnold
Yeah.
might be better. Could be vice versa. Lions would probably have to trade up to get one of those guys if they wanted to take a corner in the first round.
I
Maybe
agree.
they're more of a guy like Cooper DeJean or Cooper DeJean, I should say, or Kool-Aid McKinstry might be
Yes.
around when they're picking at 29. We could start with those four guys.
So, yeah, I do think you'd have to trade up for Arnold or Mitchell. Arnold has a high ceiling, extremely intelligent. Mitchell has a little bit more swagger. I do think there's a lot to like about Mitchell's game, Marshon Lattimore-esque, in my opinion. I think both of them are gone. I don't know. There's no way. I think you'd have to trade up, and I think you'd have to trade up a lot. On my top 50, I had them up very, but they're both like top 10 players for me. So, I don't think they're going to be in the range for the Lions. At the same time, DeJean and McKinstry, they could be, and if they are, I'm totally cool with taking either of those guys. These are the two guys that are causing me to hesitate saying I think Zach Frazier could be the first round pick. To in my mind, DeJean, McKinstry, Frazier, those are the guys you need to focus on in the first round. Those guys seem to all make the most sense from a mentality standpoint, from a scheme fit standpoint. They all work for me. Now, DeJean played a ton of zone at Iowa, and so there's a lot of questions about can he stay outside? But look, he's an elite returner. If we were talking about that earlier, he's an elite returner because he's an athlete. Yet for some reason, people are saying, oh, he can only play zone. Oh, he maybe has to kick back the safety. I'm gonna test him outside. I think he can play outside. I think he can play outside in man too. Like I think he has the athleticism, the intelligence, the ball skills to play in this scheme on the outside. And so I like him and McKinstry in the same tier. I have DeJean rated a little bit higher, and I think McKinstry is probably the best press man corner, like it is from a pure press man standpoint in this class, and I think he'd be great at for the Lions as well. I'd take either one of them, and I'd walk away happy. I think it fills a position of really big need, gives you more long-term stability, and they're both good players who are going to fit into with the Lions. So if I'm the Lions, those are two guys that are very, very high on my draft board.
The next group, Ennis Rakestraw from Missouri, Mike Sainristil from Michigan. That's your guy, Eric. You'd love if the Lions came away with them, but they already have Brian Branch in the nickel corner spot, but they could do some different things. Branch might be able to take on more of a workload in his second year.
Sure.
Nate Wiggins, we've talked about him before. A highly rated player, maybe not a guy that really fits with the Lions.
Correct.
Max Melton from Rutgers. I don't know, probably not him either, a guy like that either. Now we're getting deeper. Now we're still in the late second round, early third round, that this group. Kamari Lassiter from Georgia. Here's a guy
Yeah.
who was probably like once the season ended and like maybe throughout this past year, it's like, oh, here's a guy who's gonna get drafted really high. Here's a guy that's
Yep.
really not up there anymore.
He ran a 4.64. That's
Okay,
why.
so he came out slow.
Yeah. Very fast or quick. I mean, quick, very quick.
Quick but not fast. Is this a tease Tabor
Correct.
situation? Yeah.
Well, this is a he might have to play nickel type of situation,
Okay.
right? Because if you're quick but you don't have long speed, look, he's great. I mean, look, he's a physical attitude. He's good against the run. He's in my opinion. He's probably more of a zone corner, but he has some balanced experience. But he ran very slow. Like 4.64 is a tough one to
Less slower than
overcome.
Tabor. Wasn't he
Yeah.
4.62?
I
I
don't
can't remember.
remember. I'm
Maybe it
gonna
was 4.65.
but there's just that you can justify slower times. Like you can say, oh, that guy's a 4.5 and it makes sense. He can still recover because of instincts and or his just ability to like get out and anticipate. 4.6s is a lot harder, like a lot harder. And it's like, hey, he may have to play safety. But the fact that his quickness is still there makes me think he can play nickel. But outside corners, a tough ask in a man scheme. I think he'd have to be and if he wants to stay on the outside, he'd have to find a home in a zone scheme in order to make it work. Fits a lot of what the Lions like. He's not an outside press man, and so I think that's going to knock him down the Lions list. Brad Holmes has a when he was with the Rams, he created a index of attributes that the Rams wanted to have in order to draft corners. Okay. And basically what it is it takes specific like height, weight, speed, jumping ability, and it takes like, some of them are lower scores, some of them are higher scores, but they're all attainable. Like you see guys hit these scores all the time, but what you rarely see is guys hit all of the scores. Okay, they rarely hit all of the benchmarks. And so they plug them into the system that they have in the Rams and this database, and it just constantly gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and the database just gets bigger and bigger. And then they assign like percentages to these players, like where do they fit in the percentage scale? There's only one player in this class that hits all of those markers. And okay, granted, they hit all the markers we know. There's other markers that are like GPS times and stuff like that that we don't have access to. But of the markers that we know, there's only one player that passes all of them, and that's Max Melton. Melton is, we started the year at nickel, and then he kicked him outside, and he's got a good nose for the ball. He's got good quickness. I think he's a good press man, but he hits all of the athletic markers in the system that Brad Holmes created with the Rams. So that's a big, like, put a star on him for me, where I'm like, okay, he's an interesting guy because athletically, Brad Holmes is very picky and he just happens to hit all of them. That also means he's probably going to be on the Rams radar as well, right? So it doesn't mean like he's just going to stand out, for the Lions. There's going to be other teams that like him a lot as well. there are flaws to his game, but like athletically, there's a product there that you can build. And so that's why a week ago he was in the tier lower. Now I bumped him up into the tier with a couple of my favorite players. Like Rakestraw is, if he didn't run a mid 4.5s, he'd be, I think, in the first round conversation, and as opposed to the second round conversation. If Mike Sanders still was 3 inches taller, he'd be in the first round conversation, right? If Nate Wiggins was more physical, he'd be more on the Lions' radar. I think he's in the first round because of his coverage skills, but like not as much on the Lions' radar because he's not as physical. With Max, he has flaws just like all these guys do that kind of are going to drop, that's going to drop him down, but he hits a lot of the markers that we believe Brad Holmes looks for based on research that's been uncovered from different reporters and different stuff that's out there. So I'm putting a little star next to him and keeping an eye on him.
Now,
It gets interesting after him though, but go ahead.
that's what I was going to say. When you go deeper, I don't know if we could really get a bead on any of these guys. These are they're coin flips, rolls of the dice, you
Sure.
name it. Like, can he unearth a jet if they take a corner late? Like,
So here's a handful of,
who
there's a
would he
couple of
get?
guys. Yeah, there's a couple of guys in the third round that I think are worth it. Will Andrew Phillips be there? More of a nickel, but he can play some outside as well. Press man, in my opinion, they brought him in for a top 30. Renardo Green from Florida State. No contact with the Lions that we know of, but he's a good press man corner, and I think he could do well. Kalen Carson from Wake Forest is a guy who has been profiled. I profiled him earlier in the year. He's kind of a balanced guy. Again, he came in for a top 30. Nemanja Pritchett from Auburn, another press man we've been talking about for a while. They just brought him in for a 30 as well. So these are guys that are like in that third, fourth round range that I think fit the press man. Lions seem to have shown some interest in them. And so if the Lions don't land a corner in the first two rounds, these are the types of guys. But these are not necessarily guys that are you think are going to challenge to start in year one. Maybe they can. Maybe they, all of a sudden have something in them and away they go. But they're going to need a little seasoning in order to get up to speed, as opposed to, like the DeJean and McKinstry's of the world here. If you go later than that and you want to start talking like fourth, maybe fifth round range, I don't know if Cam Hart's going to be there. The Notre Dame one, he's an excellent special teamer. He got great size, 6'3", 202. He'd be very interesting to me. I just don't know if he's going to be there when the Lions pick in the fifth round. Jerrion Jones from Florida State, another press man guy, but he's more of a nickel in my opinion. Maybe he's there. Elijah Jones, similar type thing. He can be inside out guy. And so that's, you start looking at what you're starting to find is like more guys that are like inside out in these later rounds. And that's not bad. Like you still need a backup for Brian Branch. So if you end up with a guy like Phillips or one of the Jones guys or Mike Sanders still, you got a guy you can play inside and out, then awesome. That's gonna give you some flexibility. And if they're good in the nickel, well, that's gives you a more direct path to the field because really they don't have anybody after Brian Branch. So I'm okay with some guys late. This is a position I definitely think they could double dip at. Like they could take if they take a DeJean. He can play every spot, in my opinion. So I don't think you necessarily would have to double dip. You take McKinstry, who's an outside only. Maybe you take a guy like, Jerrion Jones out of Florida State late and you let him play inside as a backup and you're okay with it. Maybe you take Quantez Stiggers from the Toronto Argonauts, the CFL player who's hoping to get drafted. I'd be okay double dipping here, but I think paying a nickel, paying a price to take a nickel early is a tough sell because of Branch. Taking one late is a lot more palatable. And if you can get a guy who can challenge to start on the outside, it's going to be tough to pass up because it's a pretty big need.
Okay, Quantes Stiggers, the question about him.
Yeah.
Why could they just sign Matthew Betts, the Lions, but Stiggers has to go through the NFL draft? Is it just because of his age, how many years out of high school he is?
Yeah, correct. Betts went through the draft process, was walked on, then got cut, and then went and joined CFL. Stiggers did not go to college. He went right into the CFL, played in the CFL for 3 years, so now he's draft eligible.
All right.
So he has to go through the draft process first.
Okay. Safety group. Lions don't have a bunch of safeties. They're short on safeties on the roster, so there is a need there. There was some some clamoring, some rumoring that, hey, maybe Tracy Walker's coming back. Has not materialized yet.
No, I think he's working out. Like his training facility is in Michigan. That's where he's always trained. And so I think he just was back to work out. I don't think a contract is imminent or anything like that.
So you have Ify Melifonwu, you have Kirby Joseph, so you have young starters. Maybe they're going to end up getting a veteran to be the third safety. Maybe they grab a safety out of this class. Maybe not.
Or maybe both. Right.
Maybe they can double dip and get to five safeties. So it's not a deep safety class.
Yeah.
Who would you like out of this group?
I like guys at different stages. I like a couple of guys. I'm starting to grow. Some of the guys are starting to grow on me a little bit. Javon Bullard was always a guy that I liked. I just thought he was more. When I watched Georgia play, I saw him more like I saw Brian Branch. I thought he was a good slot nickel with good instincts. When I studied him more during the process here, I think he's got a little bit more ability to play high as well. Like he can play in the two high zones and stuff like that. And so for me, that moved him up my board. Add in the fact that Tyler Newbin, who was my top choice, had just a terrible showing. It made it a little easier for me to move Bullard up to my top spot. I still have Newbin right at two, and they're in the same tier. But I like those two guys. Jaden Hicks is in that tier as well. I think he can be a high cover guy. So like those are like my top three at best second rounders. Right. At best. And so those are kind of the top guys. After that, when you get into like that third round range, Cole Bishop was a guy I liked quite a bit and considered moving up into the first tier. Malik Mustafa is a big hitter, good special teamer, and a guy that the Lions have shown some interest in. They interviewed him at the combine. He's probably in that third round range. I like him quite a bit as well. And then there's Dadron Taylor Demerson. He's more of a cover guy. Kalen Bullock, the USC free safety. His coverage skills and his ability to play high in the post is, I think, going to get him more love than where I have him ranked, and maybe more love than where he's kind of getting looked at. Be very interesting to see if he shoots up the boards a little bit more, because he has a couple of skills that he's 6'2", 188. Some teams think he can play outside corner. I think he can play nickel. I think he can play single high. He's got some range. Like that's going to be appealing to people. When you get into day three, though, those are the guys I really like. Like I like these safeties on up at the top, and I'm like, second, third round. It's like there's some talent.
That's not for you. I want the guys, fifth, sixth rounders.
The guys I really like, Sione Vaki out of Utah. My goodness, I love him. Ketan Oladapo from Oregon State. Both these guys are just like bruisers in run defense. Trey Taylor, who we talked about before, Ed Reed's cousin. I like his skill set as well. These three guys you're going to get on day three. Vaki, I think he's a fourth rounder. I might be the only one that thinks he's a fourth rounder, which, you know, but that's fine. Vaki, everything about him, like I think is fantastic. Mentality is there. Remember, he's the guy who played that we talked about previously. He's the guy who, when the running back, Utah had a wealth of injuries at running back. They needed another option. He was like, I'll play running back. I'll play safety and running back. No problem. And so he played both ways as a senior. Utah runs a split zone, which is why I like Cole Bishop. His Vaki and Cole Bishop were both Utah safeties. They both played. Utah runs that split zone. Vaki is more of a guy that I think is in a box, but the split zone gives him the ability to drop back as well, in my opinion. He'd be a great safety three. He'd start all over your special teams, and he could be a guy maybe you try out as a returner because he did that a little bit as well. Vaki is a lot of fun. He's a lot of fun. And if he's there in the fifth round, take him. Take him. I'm happy to take him there. Oladapo, I think I don't want to speak out of turn, but I thought he won, like he was a defender of the year. Like maybe it was just the Pac-12 defender of the year, but like he's a really good run defender. I like the way he closes. I like the way he plays downhill. I think he can play in the slot. It's more of like again, both these guys are kind of be considered like box strong safety type things, but like if you're in a traditional old sense, but the way that the new age safeties are, I think he's going to be fine where he's at. But again, big run stuffer and 6'2", 215, like, and he can hit you. And he's got some good athleticism too. Teams don't seem to like him. Analysts don't seem to like him. I like him. I'd go after him. And then Taylor, the guy I talked about, Ed Reed's cousin, another split zone guy who's capable of playing at the single. And I think you can plug him back there at safety three and feel pretty confident. Lots of confidence, good demeanor, good bloodline. So all three of those guys, safety three, easy for me. If you want a guy who can challenge the start, you're going to pay a second rounder or a third rounder to get, you know, like the Cole Bishops or the Mustafas or the Bullards. I'll
Yeah, the
take
Lions
Vaki.
wouldn't. It doesn't seem the Lions would be looking to do that,
Yeah,
though.
I'll take Vaki in the fifth round all
It'd
day.
be nice and comfortable.
Oh yeah, all day.
All right. We made it through everything. I know you're not going to hit on any special
Well,
teams, guys. Oh,
yeah, I'm not going to, but
no.
but there's three kickers that I think people might want to
Will
pay attention
Reichard.
to.
We all know him well.
Reichard's the one that everyone knows, right? Yeah, Alabama kid, big leg, very successful, 10 of 13 over in his career from beyond 50. Longos is only 52 though, but they knew his range and they stuck with him and he was
Right.
successful. Joshua Carty from Stanford is, I think, the second guy that most people kind of like. Some people actually like Carty ahead of Reichard. He's more along like he's eight went 8 of 15 from beyond 50. He has as long as 61 though, so that's a lot of fun. Like having those guys with the 61 length, you know, yard length field goals available. I'd like a little bit more consistency, but he's more consistent than Reichard in the 40s. So, like, I'm okay. Do they need to draft a kicker? I don't know. I don't think they do. I think they should just call the Michigan
Yeah,
Panthers
Jake Bates, go get from the Michigan Panthers. That's the
yeah.
move.
I mean, he hasn't missed yet, right? I don't want to jinx him here, but I
That's what I was
believe.
just looking up. I'm looking
Yeah, I
up.
think
I'm
he's.
trying to find his
Pretty sure he's like 6 of 6,
stats.
and multiple have come from beyond 50 as well.
Yeah, well, two from
So,
beyond 60.
right, exactly. And so it makes a lot of sense for them just to go grab him, and then use your draft picks on guys like Vaki instead of a kicker. But I'm sure there's a lot of people that really want the kickers out there. I understand that. There's such crap shoots nowadays.
Yeah, I would never want him to
tough.
Draft a kicker. Luckily, they drafted Hansen before I really knew what was going on. Yeah. And I wouldn't have been upset with it. He was an excellent kicker for a long time, but that's the last time they drafted a kicker at all, I think. They drafted Sam Martin, who was a punter, right?
Well, right. And I think they drafted somebody else late one year, somebody that did not work
Nate
out.
Nate Freese in 2014.
There you go. I was going to, it was right on the tip of my tongue, but I couldn't figure it out because he was not good. there's probably one punter that's draftable, but he's really good. Torrey Taylor from Iowa. But again, with Jack Fox, it's not even worth saying that other than the fact that you'll probably see him come off the board when you're watching the ticker on ESPN or NFL.
Yeah, all right. That's.
Do you have a preference? Well, do you have a preference on ESPN or NFL? Which one do you watch?
I'll bounce back and forth. I used to always be an ESPN person, and then you kind of pushed me to the NFL Network, and then I started watching that. Yeah, well, for your hatred of Mel Kiper, and so I started watching more of the NFL Network, and then I try to watch because the ABC feed will be the college guys, and I like the college guys. It's not it. They don't really know McShay. What's going on. It's not the same. Oh, they do now. Right. Like it's not the same.
They dump McShay, so that has gone down. ESPN is oh gosh, I'm gonna pull up their broadcast team because I just wrote about it for tomorrow. It's not great. I mean, they have Mike Greenberg, right? I used to really like Mike Greenberg when he was with Greeny and Golic, like when they did that. I really liked him. Since then, I've lost my
your appetite for Greenberg.
Yeah, exactly. It's I haven't liked him as much now that he's in that morning show that they have. And so Greenberg's on the main stage with Kiper, Booger McFarland, Lewis Riddick, who I enjoy, and then they have on the other set Reese Davis with Kirk Herbstreit, Desmond Howard, and Nick Saban, along with Field Yates. So like they're going to throw Saban into the mix on that. And I don't how say, ever listen to Saban. Like he's smart as can be,
smart as like, a whip, right? But he's not entertaining in any way.
Yeah. Not even
unless you feel like just listening about the innards of football, you know, and yeah, but, it's okay if you're being bored to death.
But with Kirk Herbstreit and Desmond Howard and Reese, like that college crew, like they're more excitable. Like, and but I also think they respect Saban so much that they're just going to shut up. And then the show's going to be like a little bit drawn out and kind of like drag a little bit. But
are they going to have Pat McAfee on with them this year?
He's doing his own.
He does his own like,
stream. Yeah. The ESPN doing a stream with him. I didn't bother to include it, but it's out there. But look, for ESPN or for NFL, Rich Eisen, Daniel Jeremiah, Charles Davis, like that's a trio.
Yeah,
and then they have Kurt Warner on the interior set with Rappaport. Kurt Warner's highly intelligent. He's not as dry. He has an opinion on things. Especially
and he was never drafted, so he's probably mad at all these guys.
He had a little rant about quarterbacks and like why they bust so often in the NFL. And basically it was the way that they're taught to play the game in college, you aren't able to accurately identify how they will translate into the NFL. Right. And he's like, it's almost impossible to watch this college tape and accurately predict how successful they'd be because they don't run the systems the way that the NFL does and or the way that the NFL has to, right? Because the defenses aren't as big and fast. In the NFL, defenses are all big and fast, right? You have to be able to like adapt quickly. In college, you don't have to. And so they run these different schemes and
it's all one read.
Yeah, Right. And where it's like fast paced and that you don't have, yeah. So it makes it very challenging. And he's like, I don't know how anybody ever finds a successful quarterback in the draft because it's a crapshoot. It's like
Well, we know
it's
that from
hard to
the
find.
stats. Yep.
Right. And so like you look at that goes back into the, if you run a pro style offense, it tends to make things a little easier. So you would think guys like that play at Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, like though Georgia, those schools that run a little bit more pro style, like, well, even Georgia doesn't run that much pro style anymore, but like they tend to be easier. I think that's one of the reasons why JJ McCarthy is got a lot of love is the he's familiar with like how the pro system works. At the same time, they also, you know, didn't they also kind of put the handcuffs on him a little bit, and they limited what he would do, and because they wanted to power run people all the time, and you know, it's just that's what Michigan did. They did what was best for them, and it worked, got them a national championship, right? But it's a hard evaluation, and Kurt's a smart guy, man. Like you don't go from undrafted to grocery store to back to the
Hall of
NFL to the
Famer.
Super Bowl, right? Like you don't do that unless you're highly intelligent,
Well, he's the
and
only
he
guy who's
is.
done it.
Right, exactly. So I think the NFL set, that's what I enjoy. I enjoy what they have a little bit more, even though the ESPN's got the quirky personalities and they got the sharp alert for when the pick's in, right? The da da da
Right.
da 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 da.
Yeah.
That's slick. I'll take NFL Network every
They
time.
are known for their production. ESPN has excellent production value when it
I
comes
don't.
to those type of things and the game presentation itself.
I'll take the analysts
Great.
at ESPN or at NFL though. I like them
Yeah,
better.
I understood. And you're right, you know. All right, so ratings. We're on a
Oh.
ratings bonanza.
Yeah.
Our ratings are going through the roof since the last time we talked about it. 5-star ratings for Buddha Frog, Ben Freddy, Need POD, Rip Can 68, Raider 3184, Taylor, Teochino. Like all those are new reviews since the last time you and I talked. That where they
Wow.
wrote reviews, 5-star reviews, great. But there's a whole ton more 5-star reviews, of course. It's a lot of the written ratings are just talking about how great Good Morning Pride is. So kudos
Yeah.
to all the great work you're doing over there.
Nice.
Spotify, the amount of ratings through the roof, 5-star, you know, holding the 5-star rating over there. So that's great. Thank you for everybody who's been reviewing and that likes the show. That's, you know, really great.
I am excited to get this one in the tank for the listeners. I wanted to get it out earlier. I really got slowed down by my draft board. I feel like I'm constantly behind in this draft cycle right now, just playing catch up all the time. And I'm happy to get this done and a few more articles. And next thing you know, we'll be in Allen Park and watching the draft, right? Or I'll be in Allen Park watching the draft.
You will be.
And
Yes, we will not all cram in there.
there'll be a whole bunch of other people down in Detroit. Checking it out. A lot of people, I'm sure, watching on TV as well, hopefully NFL Network. And it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of content coming up, and I hope people enjoy the draft board. I tried to add in more
No, it's
little
great. I love the
nuggets.
draft board.
Thank you. I'm
All the
sorry
special
it's
Easter eggs you've added.
yeah. You know, some of them are just, you won't figure it out if you're just casually looking at it. But
You
I
got to
tried to add
stare
a
at
lot
it for a good
more.
long time.
Yeah. And, you know, we'll see what I can do to, I don't think, I mean, I will see what kind of time I have to see if I can do anything more fancy with it. But I think it kind of is what it is at this point. And, like I said, if people have questions, they can always ask. And I hope the stuff I added in this year, I think is cool, and that's why I wanted to add it in. And hopefully, it'll make it a little easier to understand maybe why a player was drafted by the Lions when they eventually do pick a player.
Yeah, when they make their move. And that's it. And they'll be making their move in roughly 24 hours from now. It's 23 hours from now. So we'll leave everybody for that. We'll talk about it afterwards. Not right afterward. At least not me and you won't be talking about it right afterwards. But there's going to be plenty of content from Eric in the next few days. It's going to be one of his busiest times here. So that's it. I hope the draft goes great. Hope everybody has a fun time down in Detroit who does go down there. Hope you have a fun time in Allen Park. And that's it. And until next time, let's go Lions.